Well, my friends, the Christmas decorations are up. I think they went up before Halloween, and the jazz music, the jazzy Christmas carols are already being pumped into Starbucks, and the Christmas tchotchkes are on the shelf at Target. We are already in Christmas. For many years, I lived in Williamsburg, Virginia, the land of perpetual tourism. And we, I kid you not, had a year-round Christmas shop, spelled S-H-O-P-P-E. This week, I wondered what would be in an Advent S-H-O-P-P-E. Any thoughts? What would they sell in an Advent shop? Candies? Candles, yes. Any other thoughts? Maybe they'd have like hope or promise on the candle. An axe? Oh, very good. I think that would be a big selling item, an axe. Or maybe locusts and honey. Or a little John the Baptist outfit. Wonderful ideas. Thank you. You just heard a strange and scary, at least to me, gospel from Luke. In it, Jesus' words about his return come right before the plot to kill him unfolds. Jesus speaks from the Jerusalem temple before it's destroyed, just like the prophet Jeremiah, featured in our first reading, spoke from the temple before it was pulverized by the Babylonians. In his gospel, Luke portrays Jesus as a prophet, God's spokesperson. Jesus' words are apocalyptic, and they speak of the end times. And over the years, people have used Jesus' words about the end times from many of the gospels to prove that they are living in the end times. But I think that these predictions could be applied to almost any age. At the same time, it does feel like we're living in an apocalyptic, chaotic, and at times overwhelming period in history. We continue to get news of the challenges and upheavals that global warming will bring, and we're already seeing manifestations of global warming in the California fires and in the decline in the number of pollinators in our ecosystem. Our political environment leaves much to be desired, and the rate of technological change is much faster than our brains and even our bodies can handle it. No wonder New York Times columnist, public intellectual, and Minnesota native Thomas Friedman thanks his friends for being late. Because when they're late, he gets a moment to reflect, just a moment of time to be in the present. So while they're apologizing profusely, he is grateful. Time for reflection. Time to be is a rare commodity these days. Not only our world, but our lives can feel out of control when our workplace and our children's activity schedules are competing for the same spare hours. When our job is eliminated or our health goes south. When our bills pile up. When our baby cries out repeatedly in the middle of the night, when we're caring for an ailing spouse, and when we feel like we don't even have time for God or others. Into the chaos of our world and lives, Jesus speaks a word of hope. It might not have sounded like a word of hope when you first heard it, but it is. Jesus encourages us to pay attention to the signs all around us, to remain alert and above all, to be faithful. Despite all the expectations, demands, choices, worries, and distractions that we live with, Jesus is encouraging us to remain alert and prayerful. He encourages us not to let our hearts get weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and worry, whatever takes up most of our bandwidth, but to be people of prayer and awareness, people of hope who are living fully in the moment with great expectation, not only of what God is up to right now, but of the liberating future that God is in the process of bringing. Since we've been focusing on the Old Testament this fall, it seems important to take a few moments to explore how Jeremiah's prophecy in our first lesson relates to Jesus' words in our gospel. To begin with, the couple of sentences that we have from Jeremiah today come from what scholars call the Book of Consolation, or the Book of Comfort, which is three chapters in Jeremiah, a long book, in which the prophet proclaims a word of hope in the unlikeliest of times. Here Jeremiah is speaking to the Israelites who've been utterly defeated by the Babylonians, their temple destroyed, and their intellectuals and leaders either killed or hauled into exile. Jeremiah speaks to the failure of Israel's political leadership to lead the people in God's ways and to bring justice, and announces God's intention to bring leaders who will do these things. The prophets in our readings each Sunday of Advent highlight the importance of waiting, anticipating, and trusting in a promised future that might seem far removed from our present circumstances. Similar to Jeremiah, Jesus is casting a vision of a future in which those who trust in God have nothing to fear. In a nutshell, Jesus is saying, pay attention, remain faithful in prayer and deed, and all will be well. The future Jesus promises is a liberating future for those who wait in hope. In light of God's promises, we are called not only to name what is wrong in our world, suffering, injustice, failed leadership, but to claim and invite those around us into God's promised alternative future. And let me be clear, the hopeful future that God promises does not mean that we ignore current problems and injustices. The hope God brings in Jesus doesn't cause us to focus on the future at the expense of the present. Christian hope is also about the divine power that makes us alive in and engaged with this world that God made and loves. Living into God's promised future involves trust. It also involves participating in that future, even as we live in the midst of the challenges of our own age. This Advent, I want to invite all of us to make room for God, for others, our coworkers and our neighbors. And I want you to make space each day. I invite you to make space each day for a simple spiritual practice. This first week in Advent, I want to invite you to join me in saying the Be Still prayer and to join with family members and perhaps neighbors and coworkers in saying it, and ideally a couple of times each day. Let us not be so busy and overwhelmed that we miss what God is doing in our midst, in our lives, in our world. Let us not miss the birth of Jesus, which was quiet, humble, vulnerable, and unseen and unknown by most of the people in his day. Please now join me in saying the Be Still prayer, which can be found in the back of your worship bulletin. And we will say this prayer together, moving into a time of silence as we rest as a community in God's loving embrace. Let us pray it together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.